And we're back at the Radio Cafe. I'm Hollis Walker, sitting in for Mary Charlotte. My next guest is Christy Higbee, director of The Other Brother, a film being shown at the Santa Fe Film Festival at 1 p.m. Friday at CCA. And so some of you may have to skip out of work early if you want to see this one. Welcome, Christy.
Thank you. Good morning.
And just out of curiosity, I know you've been traveling. Where are you today?
Well, we're in Pennsylvania today.
Oh, great. And so tell us a little bit about your background, Christy.
Well, my background is actually as a visual artist most of my life. Around 2000, I took a workshop with Bart Weiss up at the main workshops and just fell in love with editing and creating short docs, and have done nothing since then but that. It's possible to kind of do most of those parts yourself these days, and I embrace that as a visual artist working alone in a studio. It can happen that way now, and so it was just another medium for me to pursue.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So what was your prior medium in visual arts?
It was a lot of work in fibers, drawing, painting, encaustics. I'm kind of all over the place with specific mediums. Kind of like that dog in Up. You know? Oh, something more interesting. I haven't stuck with one. My husband's a painter, and he has done only paintings his whole life. It's kind of nice to immerse yourself that way, but I lose interest, I think.
Yeah, you needed a new challenge, and film was it.
Yes.
Now, The Other Brother, it's a full-length feature.
It is my first feature, yes.
Uh-huh. Is this your first full-length documentary?
Yes. Yeah, it is. It is. And it's a very different way to work when you go that deep. There's a lot more to consider. To keep someone's interest that long, it was a challenge.
Well, let's talk about this. First, just a little bit of background on what the film is about. It's a documentary that tells the story of two brothers. One, Tom, a highly successful artist and art professor, now retired, he's 85, who was the mm-hmm. recipient of a Fulbright. He had a long academic career. And then his brother, Jesse, who became estranged from Tom in 1948. And Jesse had gone off to World War II as a soldier, and he worked as a medic, and he came back a changed man. Am I giving a good little summary there?
Well, you are. I think that was a pivotal moment. I think there were other issues, but I think that one the sisters seemed to point to as a real change in his attitude.
So the story is actually told through interviews with the two sisters of these two men, and Tom, the brother who is still living, and with a voiceover reading of many, many letters that Jesse, the troubled brother, you might say, wrote. So tell me how did you get involved in this? How did this movie even come about?
Well, Jesse's death in 2004 coincided with my new interest in filmmaking. So, you know, I was alert to a new subject that I wanted to pursue.
Did you know someone who knew them, this family?
Well, that might be a fact that has escaped you in that.
Yes.
It's actually our family.
Ah, okay.
It's my husband Mark, who helped me produce, who is the producer. Mm-hmm. It's his dad, is Tom.
Okay.
And Jesse is an uncle he never met.
Uh-huh.
And so we were aware of this, of course, of this estrangement, and curious about it, and would ask about it, and never got very far. And then, you know, we had busy lives and raising kids, and we're told he was just a recluse. He wanted no contact with people, and we regretfully left it at that time. And it wasn't until he passed and we saw the wealth of work that he did. We were aware that he made art, and we'd seen some of it, and it was interesting, but we'd never seen a whole body of it over a lifetime. We'd never knew that he wrote that many letters in such great detail. 2,744 letters, actually, from 1940 for until 2004, until the day he died. I found the letter he wrote the day before he died.
Wow.
So it was...
So you, after after Jesse died, and he was living in isolation in this little shack with no plumbing or electricity, I believe, and and he only allowed his sisters to come to see him and bring him food and things like that.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So when, and your husband had never met him, the family member, nor had you, and then he died, and how were you pulled into the end of his life, and... What he left behind?
Well, we understood for the first time that not only did he write letters that often, but his sisters kept them all. And so that, you know, I perked up about that. And then the fact that they had a lot of his artwork, and that was encouraging because he didn't take very good care of it. He just threw it around on the... And didn't, you know, after it was done, it had no real worth for him, it seemed. So he was very inner-directed in creating it. And then I learned from Raymond, who was the husband of one of the sisters and who was legally blind, that he had video footage when they would go to visit him. And it was shot a little bit incognito. He didn't, he knew Jesse had a temper. He was afraid to kind of point the camera at him, but he had footage. And that just solidified it for me. Oh, we'd never seen him. We'd never met him.
Right.
So I was driven from my own deep curiosity and need to know as much as wanting to create a story to share. And it just got better and better. I did all the interviews and edited everything together that I had, which was a ton of photographs that he took. He was quite a photographer. He was quite a writer.
Jesse, you mean?
Jesse, yes. Uh-huh. This is what I was learning about him. And it was just, he was just a fascinating person in general, but when I knew that all the elements were there. Well, I edited this whole thing together, and then started to read the letters, thinking I would just put a little punctuation here and there. Well, the whole thing just flipped over. His letters and who he ended up being went so deep and interestingly and changed the whole tenor of the story for me. It suddenly became about him, and I didn't expect that at all. So that was a fun sort of discovery, I guess.
Right. So did you feel like in the course of doing this movie that you came to know who Jesse really was?
Oh, yeah, and gave him the voice for the first time, and shared his work for the first time. That's all very exciting for me. And he really was. I just wish I could look him in the eye today and tell him what a worthy life he was living. He loved animals. He cared for a lot of animals and pets. He grew this gigantic garden, worked in it every day. So he was, providing his own food. But he was living, and he was writing, and he was reading, and he was watching movies. He was an intellect. I didn't expect any of that. And he had a huge heart. But yet just beat himself up terribly. He was his worst enemy about. He just had terrible self-worth, and it was so sad to hear him write about it.
I'm talking
today. In today's standards, we could help him with his issues if it was post-traumatic stress, if it was Asperger's. I don't know what kept him from being social. He wanted to be social, and he would try, and it would be a very unsuccessful effort. But he would have a very different life today, I think.
Yeah. For listeners who've just joined us, I'm talking with Christy Higbee, director of The Other Brother, a film being shown at the Santa Fe Film Festival this weekend. It's on at 1 o'clock on Friday at CCA. How did you come to think about Tom differently? Or you had known him already, obviously. How did he change in the course of doing this?
Well, I think that's the newest news in all of this. He's been a part of our life, of course, always, but it's been a difficult relationship, and this has resolved so much. I mean, the story behind the story is that we're just much closer and much stronger, and my husband and I finally have an understanding about why Tom led the life he did, made the poor choices that he did, and it was always that was always a question for us. He had this. He would tell you today that, you know, he could do something terrible with a person's love and then work really hard to make good again. And that roller coaster is now finally defined for us why his behavior was such. We learned so much about our family through this experience, and we're all much closer. And he is so grateful, and so are the sisters, that this story is there now.
Part of the story seems to be about the amazing level of acceptance of the sisters for Jesse, for yeah. Tom, for their estrangement. Talk about that a little bit.
It's just family. It comes down to family. There was no doubt that they would be there for Jesse, and there was no doubt that they'd be there for Tom. I don't think that for them estrangement was even an option. It was they just had such a strong sense of family, we're helpless to solve this estrangement between the brothers, but they just found a place for it in their life, and that they were so supportive of Jesse and never turned their back on him.
Right, and he could be obstreperous and difficult and a lot of other yeah. things, it seemed like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they just kept showing up with food and other ways of helping him.
Yeah, just totally unconditional. That's very inspiring to me to learn that they were that. And Jean, when he wrote letters to her, he wrote also to his mom and one sister most mm-hmm. of his life. And the letters to mom were pretty just factual, but the letters to Jean would have a sweet spot somewhere in the middle where he was talking about what he was thinking, you know, philosophizing about what he saw in the news. And she was the person, he wrote letters as if it was the end of the day and somebody was sitting across the table and you mm-hmm. were sharing your day with them. They were so full of detail about what he did that day. So she was really the only human that he conversed with in the way that families do daily. I think that was...
And she was his lifeline. Through those yeah. letters, that was his lifeline to the rest yeah. of humanity that he was not able to interface with on a daily basis.
So. Yeah, and I think she learned her role in this through watching the film. And when they have regrets, they didn't have the monetary means or really the education to understand how they might have been able to help him. But boy, they were there for him. He never turned their back on him, and that's inspiring.
Yeah, it is inspiring, and it's. I think that too often these days that our families are so spread out, and we're not living in the same communities together, et cetera. And so when we have a problem, quote unquote, a problem member of the family, you know, who has mental illness mm-hmm. or alcoholism or whatever, it's much easier for us to turn our back and walk away, and more accepted these days that we say, oh, you know. I'm just going to detach with love, and I can't see him anymore because, you know, he's too difficult. And this story is so beautiful in that regard that no one abandoned Jesse. He abandoned the world in a way, but no one abandoned him.
Yeah.
So it's a real testament to what's really important about family values, so to speak.
Find a way to have a presence.
Right.
You know, don't just be there.
Right.
Yeah.
Find some way to interact with him. And you know, I think it's so, in that sense, it's a really interesting movie about family dynamics. But one of the other major themes is the artwork that the two men made. And one of the websites I read about the film says, you know, this is a film about art. And I could argue about that. But let's talk about how it's a film about art.
It is I thought it was going to be a film about art. I mean, that's the thing that fascinated me the most. When I started going through, I was very familiar with Tom's work, of course, but as a professional artist, you have tons of headshots and lots of documented artwork. So all that was at my fingertips. But I was discovering Jesse just as I was collecting stuff, and I was just stunned at the connection between the way they made a line, and sometimes content, sometimes what they chose to draw, but mostly it was the line. It was like handwriting. It was so similar. And I thought, wow, there was a thread there that ran deep and an important one, even though they never saw each other. Was it nature and nurture? I don't know. They had some lessons in middle school, but you know, that was it. And they may have been influenced by a teacher then. But then the rest of their life, it was, I could find collections. But part of it, and I think that was my advantage as a visual artist. You know, we just are about making connections and finding similarities and scanning what lines and content and colors and I could find so many examples of, whoa, how did these two pieces, you know, 20 years later, how come they're still so similar? So,
right.
I don't know. There's not a lot out there on genetics of art. I don't know that you can even call it genetics. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I could have so many times gone to these professional talking head interviews in this thing,
right.
But I wanted it to be so familiar to people. Everybody's got some kind of estrangement in someone that they know that's gone on so long, nobody knows how it even started. So I wanted it to be like, you know, as a kid, you're sitting on the stairs listening to the adults having their candid conversations about family and history, and you're just getting pieces of it, but you're getting part of it. We never get the whole story. And so keeping it strictly to the main interviews and trying to tell that story. It was a lot harder to edit, but it was a goal to keep it just about family perspective.
I think there's a level of integrity to this film that is patently evident when you watch it, because I appreciate that, especially in analyzing or looking at the art of the two brothers, the academically trained, the art professor with his great career, and the isolated, possibly mentally ill other brother. You know, it would have been really easy to go to analysis and talking about, you know, how Tom's work actually does look a little more academic, you know, you can see in Tom's work the reflection of his studies of modern art. You know, it's all there. And then when you look at Jesse's art, it's much more sort of primitive. It almost has a cartoon aspect to it. And yet, when you put them side by side, and especially when you so carefully chose works that did have shared content. I remember one landscape with trees, for example, where you put a piece of work by each of the brothers side by side, and you did a whole sequence that way. And yet, somehow in doing that, it wasn't cliched, and it didn't seem forced, because the pieces weren't, you know, exactly alike, and there was no overt, look, their work is just alike, or anything like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, so that brought the, you had to look hard at that. You know, you had to really look. And that's what I wanted. I wanted, I guess that was because it did start as an idea of being an art, about art. And so that sequence was always at the center of the plan. It just moved toward the end a little bit to have more effect, but
Yeah,
in fact, I didn't have it very clearly labeled at first, and people just thought, oh, it's just another slideshow of artwork.
Uh-huh.
They didn't realize it was a comparison, so I had to go back in and make sure that people understood that, hey, this is two different artists.
That was Jesse on the left and Tom on the right, yeah.
That's right.
I'm really curious. One of the early part of Jesse's artistic career, at least, was appeared to be when he was away at war during World War II, and doing drawings on the envelopes of the letters that he sent home. What happened to all of those? And did he continue to draw on envelopes throughout his letter writing career?
Oh, yes. Every envelope, all 2,744, had a different image on it that he obviously spent that day, you know, draw. I think he spent most evenings creating artwork, writing letters and drawing. Mm-hmm. On these envelopes, some of them were incredibly detailed, and sometimes they were much, much less so, but they were always different.
Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to those letters and the artwork?
I do not know. We are in the process of contacting Outsider and art museums.
Uh-huh.
We would love for this collection to live somewhere available for people to go through. And I think there's so much more in here just about a life that lived during those times that could be interesting to research. But we hope that the family will agree to donate the collection.
Yeah.
Someplace where it can be seen and cared for well.
Yeah. How long did it take you to make this movie?
I've got about 6 or 7 years invested in this, mostly because I'm not a full-time artist or filmmaker, but I will be in June. My husband and I are retiring from teaching and going to be full-time artists. But that's an aside. That's just an exciting part of where we're going with everything. It's been a part-time thing, but
mm-hmm. 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, I just had to get through all those letters. I didn't know what was going to be in each one. I didn't know we ever had a girlfriend until that the sisters mentioned that in their interviews, but until I find just one letter that mentioned her, and it was like I just didn't know what I was going to find next, and that was just too much fun. I did not want that to end. But it finally did.
How was this challenging to make? I'm just thinking, how could I ever make a film about my own family? How did you step lightly among or in the middle of the family dynamics as you made this?
Well, I think because they're in-laws, for me, it was probably easier. And tremendous encouragement from my husband, Mark, because he wanted to know, too. He was tremendously curious. And as we age, I think we just get more interested in family and history. And I think that was part of it. But Tom was perfectly happy to have a film made about him. He was very supportive and there for me with all anything I wanted, including all of his precious, precious sketchbooks. He just let me grab the whole bunch and take off to scan and use. That was hard for him, but he was supportive. He wanted mm-hmm. the story told, and he wanted to know why, too. He never read any of those letters. He never saw any of those photographs. And all of a sudden, the whole life just came, and why the estrangement happened was not, I tell you what, we honestly thought we were going to find some horrifying thing that Tom did.
Right.
We were afraid of that, and uh-huh. that wasn't the truth at all. The truth uh-huh. was much more interesting
yeah.
And much more complex.
Yeah, those family secrets.
and who... It wasn't Tom's fault, I think, is what he realized.
Yeah. So what a redemption for him. If he was feeling guilty or suffering because of his estrangement from his brother for those many, many decades,
yeah.
knowing that it wasn't something he did that was the
yeah.
cause of that. And what a wonderful thing to happen at the end of life, although it's sad that they weren't able to reconcile while they were still
yeah.
living. You know, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm talking with Christy Higby, the director of The Other Brother, a film being shown at the Santa Fe Film Festival. It's going to be shown at 1 p.m. Friday at CCA. Now, Christy, are you coming in for the festival?
We are. We are so excited. We are coming in Thursday night and staying the whole time. I can't wait. I hear the weather's going to be good,
yeah.
and it will be the first time that we attended. Actually, it's screened at Bare Bones, but we couldn't make that one. And so this is the first time we will be in attendance with an audience, and I'm so looking forward to that.
And are you going to be available to talk to people at any of the events during the festival?
Oh, yeah, I think we're doing an interview after the screening.
Oh, great. So you'll be at the screening and you'll have an interview.
Oh, yeah. We'll be very available to anybody that has any suggestions about where to go from here.
You mean you don't have a project in the offing?
In my head.
In your head. Well, what would your advice be to a filmmaker, or in fact any kind of artist, doing a project that has to do with their own family? How did you maintain some? You must have maintained some level of detachment.
Did I? Maybe I did, but I think the best advice is don't go in with the end in mind. People love to tell their story, and once you start interviewing, you're going to find out some things that will change what you thought you were going to do. I just think that's guaranteed. So stay fluid, stay flexible, and stay objective if you can, I guess.
Go into it with an open mind.
Yeah.
So you must have spent your own money, and I think you did a Kickstarter to make this all work?
Oh, the Kickstarter was a lifesaver because it provided the funds to do everything that you should do to a film afterwards, get the sound sweetened, and what a difference that made. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a chance to do color correction. I did the best I could. But we, you know, the film festival fees and then the traveling there and then all the printing and of support materials, mm-hmm. it paid for everything. It was... we couldn't have done it
without
it. Or it would have been another year or two as we tried to get grants or whatever. So
well,
it was wonderful. But, you know, you go to that, and it was successful, but you can't go back there too often because most of them were friends and family.
Christy, so, thank you so much for being with me.
You're welcome.
Christy Higbee's film, The Other Brother, is going to be screened during the Santa Fe Film Festival at 1 p.m. this Friday at CCA. You can go to santafefilmfestival.com to see about tickets. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Hollis Walker. I'm sitting in for Mary Charlotte.